My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show where you're not famous.
Joseph Jaffe is still not famous. It's the daily show for business with a little Wayne's World thrown in for good measure. Since March 2020, I've welcomed over 650 guests, including Dan Pink, Tom Peters, Carol Baskin, Patrick Fabian, Robin DiAngelo, and even the very famous Jason Falls. It's a show about hope, positivity, and optimism, or as I like to say, it's not TV, it's HPO, where you'll get eulogy virtues to balance out my very famous guests' resume virtues.
And where can people subscribe?
Check out youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous wherever you get your podcasts. Enough name recognition for you?
Plenty. And now that you know the name, go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jacob Ross.
So as we spend more time online, digital becomes more and more of a ubiquitous and dominant channel. And one by one, we've sort of seen traditional channels get reinvented or reborn in these digital ways. And so direct mail, here's an incredibly powerful channel that doesn't take advantage of all the benefits that digital has to offer.
Jacob Rost is CEO of Pebble Post. He brings 20 plus years of ad tech experience to his role at Pebble Post, which invented an entirely new marketing channel, programmatic direct mail. The platform combines online signals and offline data to reach current and prospective customers at home with personalized mail. Current customers include Missouri, Lulu and Georgia, ModCloth, and Parachute. Jacob, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick.
I am so excited for this conversation because, fun fact about your On Brand podcast host, I began my marketing career, it was a joke that used to make more sense before I started aging and other people started getting younger, because I used to say that I got started in the mailroom, literally in the mailroom. But I worked for an educational publishing company, and it was still at the time before online had really taken over. So this operation was, the marketing engine was largely built on old school direct mail, business reply cards, sending out, mailings 2 to 3 times a year, big ones to schools nationwide, offering free samples, waiting for those BRCs to come back in. So it is a medium that I'm steeped in. And then what I found fascinating was bringing all of that over into the digital space. But now I feel like all we talk about is digital. And I think there's still something to be said on the direct mail front, and I would imagine that you would agree.
I absolutely agree, and I love that background and starting in the mailroom. That's wonderful. I mean, the thing that when thinking about branding, even if you just think about direct mail as having a brand, it's such an interesting topic, don't you think? Because on the one hand, you have this incredibly sophisticated channel that uses, you know, this high quality medium, reaching consumers at home, pretty sophisticated data and modeling, a whole supply chain. I mean, direct mail in many ways is the, what's the word, the forefather of a lot of the addressable digital channels, giving us a lot of our best practices, you know, having grown up in digital marketing. At the same time, somehow, you know, and this was really prevalent in the, I think in the 80s and 90s, it acquired this sort of pejorative term, you know, junk mail.
Yeah.
And so when you think about those kind of two things together, there's this immense power in the channel that everybody knows about. Everybody has a mailbox. But at the same time, there were some real shortcomings in terms of how direct mail was executed, and it really became much tougher as we moved into the digital world. So for us at Pebble Post, that's kind of how we approach things, is we take the best of what direct mail has to offer, and then we combine that with digital first capabilities. And that's in a nutshell what programmatic direct mail is.
You know, I love your continuation of that history, because I think the sophistication of the platform is what I kind of stumbled into marketing, and it was learning direct marketing, direct mail, that I would say really was my marketing training because of that sophistication that you mentioned. And when the digital shift came, and, you know, I was on the agency side of things, and so many there were coming from broadcast creative, which I never felt set them up for success in the same way for things digital, because of everything that you were talking about with data modeling and analytics. So fast forward to today. I love that you mentioned the 90s, the junk mail label, and it, and the idea, you know, of the brand of direct mail, kind of becoming junk mail. And I think that where is that brand taken? Where is the brand of direct mail at right now, when there are all of these shiny digital channels, when we much right. rather be talking about TikTok and NFTs and the metaverse? And you want to talk to me about a mailing?
Yeah, it's interesting. So it's such a wonderful question. And, you know, one of the things that attracted me to Pebble Post 3.5 years ago was Pebble Post is you're asking kind of vis-a-vis these direct channels. As Andreessen Horowitz, you know, popularized the saying, software is eating the world. The same thing has happened for advertising, obviously. So as we spend more time online, digital becomes more and more of a ubiquitous and dominant channel or set of channels. And one by one, we've sort of seen traditional channels get reinvented or reborn in these digital ways, like CTV for linear TV, streaming for radio, digital out of home for out of home. And so direct mail is a natural, almost a final frontier to say, okay, here's an incredibly, it's still a $40 billion channel, but here's an incredibly powerful channel that doesn't take advantage of all the benefits that digital has to offer. And so when we took a look at how to launch a solution that reinvented direct mail, we really started from the digital side. So for us, what that meant is, just like with, you know, Facebook or TikTok or a CTV solution or whatever, we look at consumer intent and behavior first. What are people actually interested in? And we use that data, and this is billions of data points a month, obviously. We use that data to send more relevant mail to consumers at home. And so to kind of bring it back to your observation around direct mail and how does that meet the digital times that we're in today, I think a lot of it is in relevance. And so for brands to create, you know, lasting, powerful impact and impressions with consumers, it also has to start with what are consumers actually interested in. And when they get a message from a brand in their mailbox What is going to maximize the chance that that consumer chooses to take that brand over the threshold into their house, which is a private, you know, a private environment. So that's how we think about ourselves vis-a-vis junk mail, or sort of more traditional, historically traditional mail, is in that hyper relevant, hyper personalized experience that allows consumers to really feel like the brand is reaching out for a reason and not just hammering them with messages.
That's great. I feel like that's so important, and like you said, hyper relevant today. I want to dig a little deeper on that, and I'm going to say this in a way that paints me as the one who doesn't know nearly enough here. So I speak about branding and marketing at conferences, and I'm often asked, hey, what brand touch points should we be thinking more about? And one of my favorite answers, for a lot of the reasons that we've just been mentioning, is direct mail. And my 1,000-foot-up Q&A in a large ballroom answer is direct mail, because in this age where there is so much noise online, you can actually send a relevant, personalized touch to someone. And usually that gets a lot of head nodding. But what are the next steps there? Because if someone asked me that follow-up on stage, I'd say, oh, I don't know. And so what is the smart follow-up to say, okay, brand X, what are, say you're in financial services, you know, what is the smart way to go at direct mail today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great question. And we obviously get that question a lot, too. I would say the way we think about it is everything has to be about the customer or the consumer, whether it's a prospect, an existing customer, et cetera. And so what we usually do with brands is we say you have to look to your data, the data that you have on your customers. What do you know about them? How have you segmented them? Who are you marketing to? And based on that, you can craft an appropriate marketing program using programmatic direct mail or really any channel. So interestingly, a lot of the brands that we work with are using their digital budgets to execute their marketing programs with us. And the reason that they're doing that is because we work in a very similar way than that Facebook works, that Google works, that the Trade Desk works, that other channels work, where you start with the data. What are people doing on your website? Who is the set of customers that bought during your last promotional period, et cetera? And then we use that to prospect, to re-engage, to win back, in just the same way that they do on other channels. So if I think you can answer it as the way that you engage in direct mail or programmatic direct mail, as we like to call our channel, is in the using the same tactics that you do in other channels, it makes it a lot easier on the brand, and it also creates a much more coordinated experience across touch points. Did I answer your question, Nick? I just want to make sure I touched on it, because I covered a lot of material there.
You know, that's funny. That's always a good check. But yes, you did answer the question. On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today We'll even give you $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Joseph, tell listeners what to expect from the show where you're not famous.
Joseph Jaffe is still not famous. It's the daily show for business with a little Wayne's World thrown in for good measure. Since March 2020, I've welcomed over 650 guests, including Dan Pink, Tom Peters, Carol Baskin, Patrick Fabian, Robin DiAngelo, and even the very famous Jason Falls. It's a show about hope, positivity, and optimism, or as I like to say, it's not TV, it's HPO, where you'll get eulogy virtues to balance out my very famous guests' resume virtues.
And where can people subscribe?
Check out youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous wherever you get your podcasts. Enough name recognition for you?
Plenty. And now that you know the name, go subscribe.
Now, back to the show. So in looking at where this fits in to everything else, it reminds me of the joke about CMO pizza, about all of the different pieces of the pie that marketing leaders have to address today. Even digital, which we're speaking of in broad strokes, is how many different things. And I think what you just said about this printed direct mail being a part of the digital budget is a light bulb, because I think, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this, I think there's a hurdle in getting direct mail back into the mix because of that CMO pizza, because it feels like another thing instead of related to the digital ecosystem thing. Is that what most are doing?
I think historically, and I'm curious if your experience mirrors this too, is that we've seen that direct mail tends to be a bit cordoned off, maybe even more than other channels in a marketer's in the marketing team at the brands, and so I think the challenge there is that as CMOs are trying to build, you know, customer centric, cross channel, orchestrated, multi-touch point marketing programs, direct mail is a tough thing to integrate. It's run in a very sort of self-contained way. And so that's why it's so important for us to think about it, just as you said, as a integrated part of a omni-channel strategy. But that requires that you make it work like the other channels. What the ingredients that we keep are the high impact format. Obviously, the U.S. Postal Service is our supply chain. It's our path to home, and the sophistication that you can get when you can match, when you can report on at an address level of granularity, performance. It helps you learn a ton about your customer, your prospect, where I think we've tried to really help the CMO's team is around that integration. If you're uploading audiences to Facebook, you can upload the same audiences to programmatic direct mail, and it pulls direct mail into that suite, just like you were saying, because it really works and acts like other digital channels. And it also is fast enough. So from the moment that you or I show an interest in a product of one of our brands, we can have a piece of mail go to you within 12 hours. And that is so fast compared to a standard traditional direct mail campaign, which takes 8 to 12 weeks to create. Or if you're talking about catalogs, it can be months and months. We need to move at the speed of a consumer because consumers aren't slowing down. So I think that helps it be more integrated into the suite.
You know, you mentioned what I'm seeing, and I feel like what I'm seeing is the hurdle, is the, another thing, and I can barely keep up with the other thing. So I think your point is really one that I hope, and I would imagine, will resonate with a lot of marketers, because I love the idea of pulling direct mail into digital, because it is... I know I sometimes hate all of these walls that we put up between all of these different things in marketing and traditional, and, you know, it's, I know, humorous or whatever, that it's like printing on paper versus we have the internet now. But it's the interconnectedness and the opportunity, I think, really, especially if you think about how challenging it is to rise above this. To the noise. I think this is, instead of just doing more digital as always, an integrated digital campaign is really going to produce some pretty powerful results.
Absolutely. We really believe that. And we've seen it. Our brands that do coordinated cross-channel marketing programs see a huge amount of benefit, even just in the performance numbers that we're looking at. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, everything that we do in a good modern marketing program on any channel is about consumer choice. So you choose to be interested in a product. In our channel, you choose to actually walk the marketing message from your mailbox into your home. And then you choose whether or not you want to activate on it. And that is while you may or may not be watching, you know, streaming television or listening to Spotify or what have you. And so it's a much more integrated but also a respectful way to engage with consumers. And we've seen that, you know, that actually matters, is that respect and allowing the consumer to raise their hand and say, I'm making a choice to engage with the brand, really, really actually makes a difference. You can see it in the numbers, and you can also see it in the sort of qualitative feedback that we get from brands about the consumer experience.
So you talking about seeing this, and first of all, I want to preface this with you being such a polite guy in our pre-show chat. You said, I feel bad. I don't want to just do an ad for Pebble Post. But I think it's a fascinating topic, and I do want to ask you. You talk about seeing it, and who are brands doing a great job of this? You know, customer or not, that has an impressive integrated campaign.
Sure. Well, I would say we work with I'd say a good chunk of our brands are e-commerce retail brands, and they have had quite a ride over the last couple of years. And so we've seen from the challenges of 2020 to the kind of wildfire growth in 2021, and in this year with, you know, there's all sorts of changes in the digital landscape with right. Facebook limitations, et cetera. Brands are looking for alternatives to their current channels, or at least complements. I think that actually the number one search term that brings folks to our site is alternatives to Facebook. I don't think we're an alternative to Facebook. I think we complement Facebook in a wonderful way. My sales guys like to say Facebook can get you 80% reach of the U.S. Pebble Post can get you 97% reach of the U.S. So who's really bigger? But I mean, it's like, it's always funny to compare yourself to these Goliaths, but I think that the brands that we're really seeing do this well are brands like Boll & Branch, a home furnishings brand, Mejuri, which is a wonderful luxury jewelry brand. Dyson has been one of our customers, clients for years and years. And here's a brand that really thinks about the consumer experience on right. all touch points. We're Dyson lovers at my household, although I have to budget myself. But it was just everything from the creative to the in-store experience to the follow-up to the product itself. They're so product obsessed. I mean, these are brands that really think about the different touch points. I think an easy test for us is we ask a brand how they measure success. And if a brand has invested in a way to really look at the success across different channels in a way that helps them make better decisions, and there's no one size fits all solution, as I'm sure all your guests have mentioned with measurement. But if they made the investment to develop that as a capability in their marketing organizations, then we know that they're going to be much more set up for success.
I love that, and that full circle approach of exactly. of having some insight on what you're measuring as well. I think, you know, that's ultimately kind of coming back full circle in a bigger sense, back to us talking about the brand of direct mail. I think it's that measurement savvy and sophistication that attracted so many of us and why it goes so well here. But even that, it's about stepping that out and making sure you know what it is that you're trying to do. I mm-hmm. feel like something that's come up in conversation recently, both on the show and with clients, is this idea of measuring branding. And I think mm-hmm. that's a squishy topic because more often than not, we're trying to do something. So I think you can't just say, I like the concept, I'm going to be a word nerd for a sec, but of brand building as opposed to just branding. That's mm-hmm. something that you're trying to do, or even mm. getting more specific, but baking your objective into that brand growth relative to competition, market share. There's all of these things, demand gen, that you can, if you just push a little harder with your specificity, you can get to and really get better insights and answers across channels as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what you're saying makes me think about impact. And one of the challenges that all our brands have is, especially in the noisy digital age, is how do you make an impact on a consumer? How do you do it via an email, an email campaign, when we get thousands of emails a day? And now Google for years has been, you know, Gmail puts them in tabs that make it easy to ignore. Mm-hmm. And there's some wonderful companies out there that have figured out really powerful ways to do it. But another reason why programmatic direct mail is powerful is because the impact is large. It's experiential, like it viscerally, we understand that, on average, we're seeing consumers put a piece of marketing mail from a brand in their apartment. It sits there for 17 days. So on a refrigerator, on a countertop, in an entryway, a bench or something like that. But what it means is that it's making an impression and consumers choose to put it there. So impact is very high, and you can actually measure that. This isn't a branding metric, but we've seen a lot of our brands kind of look at it in a much more integrated way. Brand building and growth, it's hard to separate those things out. And so what we see is everything that we do, we measure on an incremental basis. And we can actually see over time that high value customers or prospects for a brand that are targeted with a piece of programmatic direct mail have a much higher chance of making a purchase than high value customers or prospects that aren't exposed to a piece of mail. So I know that's a classic and time tested measurement methodology, but we see it in the numbers every day. And when you can say to a brand, hey, when you reach your consumer with a piece of programmatic direct mail, the lift can be 200, 500, 1,000%. That really makes a difference. So we think about brand building a lot, and we really try to prove that in the way that we build and run our marketing campaigns.
You know, I wanted to test that out, and I'm looking across my desk here, and I see I kid you not, a piece of mail from Untuckit. I love their shirts, and you know they market to me a lot of different ways, but I always keep that mailer for, you know, I'm in your 17-day stat because I want this as a reference point, or yeah, so
it's absolutely.
It's your stat made me smile. And speaking of smiles, it is time for me to ask you, Jacob, for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Well, I think I kind of spilled the beans already.
I robbed you of all your smiles in the interview.
No, you already got me talking about Dyson. I think we just got a new Dyson vacuum, and it's been, the whole experience was awesome. I got a piece of mail after doing some research on the Dyson website from Pebble Post. And it reminded me, hey, we need a new vacuum cleaner. I went to the store in Midtown. They did the whole thing where they, you know, they put cat fur on the ground and they have you, you know, vacuum it up. And I was so thrilled with that experience. And then I brought it home. My kids love it. It's got one of those little laser guided lights. So you can see in high relief every speck on the floor. So I can really, you know, massage my OCD. but, you know, it was so fun and it was so valuable. And so here, you know, why do we love them? They're product obsessed. The experience is wonderful. It's got delightful features. And I have 2 6-year-olds at home, and they think it's the best thing ever. Vacuuming is now it's like a family event. So they don't vacuum yet, unfortunately, but they like watching us do it. So they, I would say Dyson.
They stand a better chance of vacuuming than my kids with that cool vacuum in the house.
Exactly.
And, you know, every now and then the smile leads me to a smile and potentially commerce. I've been coveting the Dyson hair dryer for quite a while. And it's more money than I would spend on a hair dryer. But gosh, now I'm thinking I got to. Got to make that go or see if I can afterpay it or something.
We'll see if we can get you an offer code.
Awesome. Well, speaking of places that we want to send people, Jacob, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So the best place to go is just pebblepost.com. We actually just relaunched the website a couple weeks ago with a bunch of new content. To better share exactly how we solve for the challenges and opportunities that our brands are facing, and a lot on our data, which we're very data obsessed here. So I definitely would say go check it out, pebblepost.com. There's a form. If you want more information, fill it out. We'll get right back to you. Or, of course, folks can also find me on LinkedIn or Twitter. So happy to connect them into our teams, even if they just have some questions.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Jacob, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thanks, Nick. It was a real pleasure.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Joseph Jaffe hosts a great podcast called Joseph Jaffe Is Not Famous. Joseph. Tell listeners what to expect from the show where you're not famous.
Joseph Chaffee is still not famous. It's the daily show for business with a little Wayne's World thrown in for good measure. Since March 2020, I've welcomed over 650 guests, including Dan Pink, Tom Peters, Carol Baskin, Patrick Fabian, Robin DiAngelo, and even the very famous Jason Falls. It's a show about hope, positivity, and optimism, or as I like to say, it's not TV, it's HPO, where you'll get eulogy virtues to balance out my very famous guests' resume virtues.
And where can people subscribe?
Check out youtube.com/ Joseph Jaffee is not famous. Find the show at marketingpodcast.net or search for Joseph Jaffee is not famous wherever you get your podcasts. Enough name recognition for you?
Plenty. And now that you know the name, go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.